It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Garrison Keillor, host of A Prairie Home Companion, is on his way to Iowa again this summer, this time with his America the Beautiful tour, stopping in Cedar Rapids on August 20th. When the date was booked, we did not know that this would be a farewell tour of sorts. Garrison Keillor is retiring after the next season of A Prairie Home Companion, and he is with me today. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for being there, Charity. I wouldn't be here if you weren't there.
I'm not sure that's true, but what made you decide that now was the time to retire?
Well, I was doing the show about a month or two ago, and I was singing a Beach Boys song. I wrote new words for it called Wouldn't It Be Nice, and I just completely messed up the bridge of a song I know perfectly well. And I thought, you know, you can't go on like this. You know, you don't want to make a fool of yourself in front of other people who are paying money to see it, even if it may be what some of them would like to see. And so I thought this was a good time. And then I found a wonderful guy to take over the show, Chris Thiele, who's just a fabulous genius of a musician and a good guy, who has played on the show since he was a teenager and who has a natural gift for this, a gift, I tell you. I never had a gift and never had much of affinity for it, you know. I just did it because I had the chance to do it, and so I did it. But this guy has a real gift for radio, and so that's why.
Let's talk a little bit about Chris Thiele. He is a master of the mandolin. He's in the bands Punch Brothers and Nickel Creek, and he is not, to my knowledge, a writer, which is kind of where you come from.
To his advantage that he's not a writer.
But
how
do you see the show morphing with Chris at the helm?
It will grow naturally. It will grow, you know, as when you put tomato seeds in little milk cartons in your basement under a grow light back in March, and they'll grow. That's all. It will come about.
Do you see it as being more of what it started at, a musical variety show?
Yes, and that's a great place to start, because it enables them, the people who do the show, to do stunning and amazing things. To play music opens up the possibility of perfection. Comedy is never perfect. Storytelling is never even close to perfect. And so to start it again as a music show gives it a chance to be absolutely a killer from the very beginning. And then they can add other things, you know. Other things can be added to it. But music is really where it begins.
You say that you found a guy to take your place. Can you tell us a little bit about how that all came about?
I flew to Portland to meet him, and we sat in a hotel lobby, and we talked for about 4 hours, and it was, he didn't know it, but it was a job interview, and he was very. He was very keen about the show, and he has great enthusiasm for radio, which to my mind is really crucial. He has almost as much enthusiasm as Ira Glass does, and that's superlative. So it just seemed like the right time, and as I say, I had this memory loss while I was singing, Wouldn't It Be Nice If We Were Older, Then We Wouldn't Have to Live So Long. Wouldn't It Be Nice Assisted Living With a Lot of Handles to Hang On. And And that was a cue to me.
When you were thinking about retiring, I'm sure that wasn't the first moment it occurred to you. Why not retire the show? You've done so much with A Prairie Home Companion, and people are very excited to hear what you're going to do in the next year with the show. But it is your show, and people rightly associate you and your creativity and your writing and your stories and your skits and your music. I mean, that is A Prairie Home Companion. Why not retire the show?
It's not my show, though. I started it with a whole flock of other people, musicians, all of them. And it came out of an acoustic music scene that was very rich and very active in Minnesota and the Midwest. So I started it with other people. There have been other people who have worked on it all along. And it really belongs to listeners, really, truly. That's not a cliche. They are the ones who complete it and who make it worthwhile. And I think people want it to continue. They may not know that they do, but they really do. And it's never been more fun than it has the last, I would say, 10, 12 years. It's been so much fun because it has the best staff that it's ever had. And so it just seems like a shame to shut it down. Magazines do not go out of business simply because they get a new editor, you know. And that really has been my skill and my contribution is as an editor. I'm not a great writer, but I'm a good editor. And I'm not a performer at all, but I have some ideas of what not to do. And so that's almost as good. So I just don't feel I have a right to shut it down. Besides which, you and I know that it wouldn't shut down. And so what would happen to it is it would go into endless reruns. And I just am opposed to that in principle, that precious airtime be taken up by reruns year in and year out. I just don't approve.
You have been such a prolific writer and storyteller.
Promiscuous. Promiscuous was the word you were looking for, Charity. You're being much too charitable.
With that drive to create, do you see that continuing with retirement, or do you intend to retire and stop doing that?
I'm a writer, and a writer hopes for it to continue indefinitely. I've known writers who did stop, and they were not happy about it. The most recent and most famous is Philip Roth, but everyone who knows Philip Roth believes that he's still working. He just wants to work in secrecy. I'm working on a memoir, which is an unusual sort of memoir because it's mostly all about work. It's not very much about, you know, what one might call personal life. And it's about being lucky. And it's about sort of succeeding at something for which you have no talent. And it's an interesting book in that way. I'm also at work on a novel, which is really perplexing for me because it has nothing to do with anything I've ever written about before. It's about a stand-up comedian whose ex-girlfriend appears out of nowhere, and she is suicidal. And this man, who is fairly successful telling jokes, then sets himself about the task of trying to save this woman's life. It's a book that I don't know if I can finish. I really honestly don't. But I need time to work on it. And so those are things that I look forward to doing when things settle down.
Will you continue to do a writer's almanac?
I certainly will. I certainly will, so that I can read to whoever wants to listen the poems that I really care about and think are great, and not read the ones that I don't. See what that's about. It's about being in charge.
Right. Well, speaking of being in charge, as A Prairie Home Companion continues without you on the air, will you have a role?
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, I think that I have a role as a sort of gray eminence and executive producer. And my role as a producer is to caution the new people, Chris and others, against being too respectful of the past and of the tradition. I think it needs to be a music show. I think it needs to be a live show. I would like it to originate from the Midwest, but they need to create their own show, and I'll be there to encourage them to do that.
Now, you've made this announcement, but you have a full season of A Prairie Home Companion ahead of you.
Yeah.
I am sure people will be falling all over themselves to be on the show with you in the final year. Do you have some dreams that you want to make come true this year? Is there anything left that you haven't been able to do?
I just want to do the show, have fun, and make it be, just as good as it possibly can be, and have a great season, and we'll wind up the show in the first Saturday in July, I think, at the Hollywood Bowl, and then I'll take a train home.
You mentioned the Hollywood Bowl. You're hoping to go to some of your other favorite locations for live shows during the year too, right?
Oh, yeah. We'll go back to Ravinia. We'll go back to Tanglewood. We'll go back to Wolf Trap and the Fitzgerald Theater, of course, and some of these old Fox theaters. There's one down in Atlanta, one in St. Louis. We'll do the San Francisco Opera House in January, which is really a magnificent old pile there. And so we'll have a big time.
I know I'm in awe, and I know many other people are in awe as well, at how the Lake Wobegon stories that you've been writing for so many years seem to be so endless. Do you think that when you're done with the show, you'll be able to say goodbye to those stories, or is this automatic? Do they just keep coming?
No, they won't. They won't keep coming. They are there for a purpose, and for a particular situation on a darkened stage with a microphone in front of a radio audience, and I've tried to put them on paper and written novels. One was okay, Pontoon. And Liberty, I think, had interesting parts. Pilgrims, I don't think, was a great book at all. And so I think they really belong to that show and to the radio. So I should probably leave them alone.
The America the Beautiful tour that you're taking this summer around the United States, all the way to Alaska, in addition to beautiful Iowa, of course. Part of that tour is revisiting some of your favorite older skits as well. Of course, the audience loves that. In thinking about retiring and looking back over the years, do you have one or two favorite moments that just really stand out for you?
What stands out for me is the memory of panic when I have taken a microphone in my hand and I walk down all the way to the lip of the stage, and the audience is out there in the dark, and I say, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, and I don't remember anything else. I don't remember what I'm supposed to say next, what I had thought of last night, what I was thinking I would say. And I will remember that. I also will remember the great pleasure of standing next to various women and singing duets with them. And they all, each of them, took the lead, and I sang harmony. And to be able to find yourself as a harmony singer, you know, it's nothing that you set out to do when you're young and idealistic, but you find out this is what you're supposed to do. You have developed this ear for intervals of a third, and you are able to sing harmony pretty easily with someone else whose pitch is true. And it was nothing I ever thought I was going to spend my mature years doing. And this summer I'll be doing it 30 times in the next month or so with Sarah Giroux, who's coming with me down to Cedar Rapids, and that is something I just really look forward to.
I can't imagine you'll be able to stop doing that with retirement either.
Well, I can sing with my wife. She has a very good ear. She and I know different songs. I suppose I could do it some in some little nightclub with somebody, but I would never do it in the same ambitious way.
Garrison Keillor, thank you so much for spending so many years sharing your stories and your music with us.
Thank you, Charity. Have a good day.
I'm Charity Nebbe. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.